It's usually do 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 do.
Are we on?
Hello.
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 Good morning. Good evening to you. Sup?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Good night. Whatever.
This is another week about to start here on the Andy and Amanda Show. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, world. How's everybody doing? We have none other but the amazingly talented, beautiful, articulate, bright, and witty co-host on the show, Amanda. Yes, Amanda. I was going to say Mandy.
Oh, what an introduction.
I had to stop myself from saying Amandy from the Andy and Amanda. It's Andy and Amanda. We have Amanda Love, folks, in the UK. And good morning, everybody. And hey, Amanda, good morning to you. And we also have our none other than our show coordinator, who's broadcasting from the studios in Newcastle, Delaware. It is Cornell Butler. Ta-da!
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
how you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. I had a great birthday weekend. Truly appreciate the honor that you gave me. Thank you.
We had an amazing birthday show Friday. I had such a good time talking with our special guest, Joe Richmond, former Harlem Globetrotter, Washington General referee and coach and current ambassador to the White House.
I never do that.
I had to think. Sometimes I talk faster than I think, and my mind's got to catch up with what I'm about to say. But you know how that what was I going to say? Yes. Current.
Well, what are you going to say?
I was going to say ambassador to the. I was going to say Washington Generals. No, that was what I used to do. Ambassador to the Delaware Bluecoats, which is the 76ers minor basketball team, actually. And we had such a fun time with him on the show Friday. And to get that, folks, if you didn't hear that show, then you've got to go to the archives, our podcast archives, and go to the, I guess it was the 9th, April 9th show, and listen to the show featuring Joe Richmond. And that was a lot of fun. And that was also the Cornell Butler birthday show, and Cornell is with us. We used to come on. Yeah, we used to come on, folks, at like, what was it, Amanda, like 2 in the morning for you? Something like that? 3 in the morning?
Yeah, 1 in the morning, man. We met in the lifetime. 3 in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, and then our numbers started at that time in the morning. Our live audience in the UK were like creeping up, you know, 5%, 6%, 7%, 8%, 9%, reaching 10% of our listeners. And we were on at 3 o'clock in the morning, so we figured, you know, we should make the show more convenient for the folks there. There is a way to make it convenient for the time zone. Predominantly exists in the United States at convenient hours, and also make it convenient for the listeners over in the UK, as well as our audience, which is now 5% of our listeners in Mexico. So we decided to bring the show at this hour on at least Mondays, where it's just after 9 a.m. here in our Los Angeles studios. So it's all working out. And again, welcome everybody on board. We'll talk about the news. We'll talk about our weekends and some other fun things about life here. Entertain your calls here on the Andy Demander Show at the number 515-605-9888, or feel free to contact the show at andydemandershow@gmail.com. Now that we got all that stuff out of the way, Amanda, what's going on there, man? Tell me about your weekend. How's it going?
Well, my weekend was very pleasant, although we had more snow, Andy. We had more snow. This morning? I think it was this morning. We were due some over the weekend, and because it didn't like gray, and we had sun and gray, and then we came to snow, and I was like, okay, so I know it's coming tomorrow or today. Looking out my window as I'm speaking to you right now, it's blue skies, big fluffy white clouds, the sun is shining, but my heart is all happy and dancing. Everything's glorious. It's like a scene from the music. I'm dancing the hills, twirling around.
Oh, my. Well, snow. That's because last week you had some real nice weather there, right? It was warming up, I think you said, like midweek or so, or show
was.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to like 20 degrees or something like that, and now we're back down to like 8 degrees, -2. So what the hell's going on?
And just so the folks in the U.S. and I think Canada, when they say 8 degrees or 20 degrees, they're at equivalent to 70 Fahrenheit in the United States, thereabouts. You know, it's interesting. I know all these numbers like the back of my hand. Again, I keep going back to this, but in my flying career, when we figured out aircraft performance, it was always based on the Celsius scale, not the Fahrenheit scale. So when you figure out your takeoff performance and landing and all your speeds, which are based on the temperature outside and the weight of the airplane, the temperature was always on your scale. It was quite often, right? You know, you go to work every day and you see the temperature of 20, and I hear that. I know exactly what you mean. But for the United States, that you hear 20 degrees, and they're saying, "What do you mean warmed up?" Right?
Yeah.
So 20 is actually like 70 Fahrenheit. So just to make that clear, that's all. That's all I'm saying. Cornell, how are you doing, man? Welcome back to the show. Good to have you on,
man.
I'm
doing excellent, man. I truly appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Andy and Amanda.
Welcome
back to the show. It feels kind of different, man, but it feels great to be back on the show.
Yeah.
Love you. You're going for a while because they,
they have destroyed my servant.
Yes.
That's what really happened, and I don't know how I made it back, but you did a great job.
You pulled the finger back.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
So you had a good weekend as well, right? More celebrating your birthday out here.
What'd you say, Amanda? I'm sorry.
I said you had a good weekend. There was more celebration
on
your birthday.
Oh, yes, I had a great weekend. Yeah. Had a couple drinks and fell asleep.
That sounds good to me.
Yes. On the Andy and Amanda show, we don't sleep, so I finally got sleep on my birthday.
Yeah.
So you had a good birthday weekend? You had a good birthday weekend?
Yes. And I said before, I truly appreciate the gift that you gave me from Taylor's Guitar, Andy. And
Taylor Guitar.
Yep. And Amanda, I appreciate the words, the wisdom that you gave me on my birthday that you sent me. And that was all I needed, man. And I truly appreciate
so
that.
Couldn't send you a video and say how I felt on your birthday. It's just a nice little gift from me. It's best I could do in the moment. And, yeah, it's making you smile.
I looked at the video. I was like, who is this person?
I see. What about me, huh?
Right. I'm like, who is this person?
We got to figure out this week what we're going to answer. We try to solve the mysteries of life on the show, as a lot of you know, and we try to answer a lot of questions and issues that come up quite often in the world and the world around us, in politics and the environment and involving social justice. And we try to really figure it all out and provide insight and help you, our callers and our listeners around the world, with questions and issues that you might have of concern are of concern to all of us. The main one being what we're really going to try to attack this week vigorously is this question right here.
When you go out with a date with a guy, like how soon should you guys, I guess, have sex?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know that one, Andy.
We're really going to dive into that this week. And if you want to call and voice your opinion on the matter, it's a concerning matter. I think it's going to be in the 2022 election, I think it's going to be something talked about quite aggressively on both sides of the aisle.
Oh, really?
And 515-605-9888. And let's get real. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's get real. Yeah.
Really? Do you know, I want to bring something up here of incredible concern because we are approaching on the 15th of April. Matter of fact, I'm trying to figure out what our anniversary show should be, Wednesday or Friday, maybe Friday. I think the 15th or 16th, I'll have to check. I think it's the 15th. We are going to celebrate 1 year of Coast to Coast. Live,
wow.
This show. 1 year ago, our very first broadcast. And depending on how you – and then, we were on five – we went from a 15-minute commentary on, various, issues. Mostly it was the Ebony and Ivory show, and then the George Floyd killing happened and the show grew. And we went from 15 minutes to a half hour to like 45 minutes to an hour. Amanda joined the show, and became the Andy and Amanda Show in July. And here we are now, and, you know, we went from 5 days a week. I think August, I remember, hey, let's go take some time off in August. Let's go to 3 days a week, and we're back to 5 days a week in September and worked our butt off doing that. And we all have other lives. We figured, you know, whew, God, we need a breather here somewhere. We decided to make it a three-day-a-week program, which just seems to be working for us. The point being is that we have 334 – I'll have to confirm that number, but I believe it's 334 actual podcasts, actual Andy and Amanda shows out there, coast-to-coast shows, since our one-year anniversary. But we have to keep in mind that every broadcast that we do is repeated later that evening, the next day, like we're on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So you also hear the Monday show Tuesday several times. You hear the Wednesday show Thursday several times. And the Friday show gets repeated throughout the weekend on Blog Talk Radio, and also, of course, you can chime into the podcast whatever you want, whatever day of the week, and whatever episode you want to listen to. So I'm not really sure how those 330-some-odd shows are calculated. I got to figure out how many actual live shows we did, not just the rebroadcasts of the live shows. Know what I mean? But so I got to get that number. But I want to celebrate 1 year of doing this venture, 1 year of being on internet radio. This week, 1 year ago.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. It's gone quick, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's flying by. I was just talking to some folks yesterday, talking about the radio show and, you know, how we're doing and how the numbers are going up and how great the show is. And how great Amanda and Andy are just, we can't wait to hang out with those dudes, you know, and Cornell. And what a great, you know, what a show. Yeah, everybody. So we're getting emails from all over the world, you know, from the North Pole.
Very blessed.
Mm-hmm.
North Pole.
Yeah. And you know what's so amazing, guys? If everybody listening, all the listeners, we never got in an argument.
No.
We tried.
This is
God damn it.
We tried.
We've never met. We got to make that every show. The three of us have never, ever met. We're doing the show like a year later, you know. Well, as the Andy and Amanda show, that actually started in I think July or something, late June, July, somewhere in there. I can look that up too. But because we started a year ago as the Ebony and Ivory show with Andy Kimball and Lloyd Booker, who's a friend of ours back east as well. And then the show kind of just took a turn and twists and migrated and went different directions. And then Amanda joined the show in July. And here we are. And Cornell introduced Amanda and I and said, you know, I got this friend in the UK. I think the two of you would just make this really cool show together. Like, I think the two of you would really have this incredible chemistry.
You've become my internet husband, so something was.
since then we've been, you know, it's been like, you know. Yeah, you know, it's pretty incredible. You know what I'm saying? We've never met, and here we are, you know, doing a show and having a lot of exciting guests on the show, and what a ride, you know?
It's been pretty great.
So we're going to have a 1 year anniversary show, later on in the week, and just, you know, looking back and just, you know, can't believe that it's been that long. But, you know, the reason why I brought that up, it was not only because, wow, it's a year, which is true, but the reason why I brought that up, because one of the impetus of doing the show at the onset, you know, what provided, you know, we all have different things we do for a living, and, you know, busy with our schedules and busy managing our lives under this incredible COVID crisis. What provided the fire? What provided the spark to even get on the radio, the internet radio, and do the show? And that conversation that we had a year ago was predominantly based on the conversation of the insights, the skew of life as seen from an African-American man and this white guy here in California. And a year later, you know, then George Floyd gets murdered by a white police officer in Minnesota. Then there's other arrests and stops and you know, predominantly because of the color of one's skin. And now here we are 1 year later, and a Minnesota National Guard is deployed in Minnesota within miles of where George Floyd was killed because a police officer shot somebody.
Yes.
A police officer shot somebody, a black man in Minnesota, at a traffic stop. And we started this show a year ago talking about this issue. We had Black Lives Matter demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations, which got out of hand a little bit here and there by groups that were not really directly involved or promoted these demonstrations. So there's an element of the society. You give them a reason, a rhyme, and a way to go and hurt somebody or hurt some property. They're going to find a way to do it no matter what. But the protests themselves and the foundation of those protests were peaceful. It was brought into the light of society. It became a major issue during the election. You know, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, all these conversations that we had a year later after we start this show, with that as our conversation, a white cop shoots a black man at a traffic stop. When's this going to stop and how's it going to stop? When are we as citizens, when are we as Americans, when are we as a population going to put an end to this, and how are we going to put an end to it? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, fuck all this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
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 Fuck all this shit. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. What the fuck?
You know, as as news of rights debt spread, authorities received reports of some protesters hurling rocks at Brooklyn's Park Police, you know, building that was in Minnesota. Unbelievable. 500 members of the Minnesota National Guard have been activated. The Guard said it plans to increase the number of members on duty in response to the events overnight in Brooklyn Center. Oh, by the way, I guess I don't know if I said this or not. Brooklyn Center is where the shooting happened. And this guy, Dante Wright is his name. I looked that up. Dante, got it right this time. Dante Wright is the man, a father, a husband, an effective human being in society, a young guy, a young child who's black, was killed, was shot by a white cop. For what fucking reason? Why do you have the reason to draw a gun at a traffic stop, for Christ's sake? You know, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We have got to, as a society, as citizens, as Americans, as people of concern for one another, have got to figure out a way to end this and end it now. We're done. We're done with this. We're done. And I can't tell you, and we've all seen it, we've all seen Joe Biden numerous times get behind the podium in front of the microphone and with such genuine empathy, with such compassion, come out and say, yes, not only are we going to end this, we're going to end this now. And he's trying to do everything in his authority as a president of the United States and his executive actions and what he's able to do to start implementing some controls on what cops can do, on gun control, on shooting violence. Just unbelievable. And you know, how many headlines is this story going to have to occupy before we give a damn?
Hey, Andy, did you hear that one about the cops pulled a gun out on a lieutenant in the military?
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, I did. I saw the videos, actually. I saw the videos. You know, and here's the thing, and I want to be very clear about this. We can comment about police officers and make judgments and say things and make claims and make assumptions and assertions till we turn blue. I am not a cop. I've never been a cop. I have no interest in being a cop. I have no interest in carrying a gun. I have no interest. It's just not my thing. It's not obviously people who aren't cops don't want to be cops, or else they'd be cops, right? We have never been there. Those of us who have never been there have never been there. So I am all for an officer who goes to work every day with no guarantee that they're going to come home to their family every single day. when they put that badge on and they get in their cars and they go out on their beats, there's no guarantee they're going to come home.
No.
Imagine doing that for your career. Imagine that. Imagine, you know, dating somebody, getting married, having that first kid, raising that kid, and that wife is, and that family. You have more kids, and you have a home, and you celebrate holidays, and you do all the things you're supposed to do with your kids and your family, and be effective as a human being, and live in this world, and earn a paycheck, and your paycheck happens to come from being a police officer, and one day that police officer doesn't come home because they pulled somebody over, that the person who pulled them over shot and killed them, and the wife gets that phone call. Imagine that. Just imagine that. So I want to be really very, very clear that I understand, we understand that, you know, hey, Andy, you know, you've never been there. You have no idea what these folks, you have no idea what happened inside that car which caused that officer to pull that gun. And we and I want to be clear on that, that I'm not saying, you know, cops are bad, you know, that blue lives don't matter, because of course they do. Of course they matter. And of course we realize the concerns, the issues of what they have to undertake every day they go to work. I want to be real clear about that. And we do know, I'm a strong advocate. You know, I love these guys. I love, you know, we have great cops in the town I live in, and God bless them all. Well, you know, I don't believe in God, but you know what I'm saying figuratively, you know? So that being said, the question is, if that were a white guy, and we don't know the answers, we're going to cover this story. This is what provided the impetus for this show. That's why we're doing this show. That's why we're here a year later. It was that conversation, and I can't believe a year later we're still fucking talking about it. Why?
What I say is what I say.
You know, I hope that these all these experiences, that it makes people stop and think. When they get up in the morning, you go through that natural routine of, another day, I'm tired. You know, all those immediate thoughts that repeat every morning you wake up. And hopefully these situations can make us, you know, a glimpse of some sort of reality that says, I'm alive today. And if I'm a cop and I do have to go out and I may not come home, I'm going to embrace this moment, embrace my family, every single time before I leave, you know, and show them I love them, and just really embrace the moment of being there. That's what counts. And I think if we can take something from that and learn from it, you know, of how we can apply that little gratitude for being here and, you know, just still being alive.
Oh, yeah.
It's shitty as life sometimes. Let's face it, we all get up sometimes in that way, right? I mean, we have a good day, right of bed. Yeah, another day, let's do this. But there's other days when you feel like,
for those of you who don't know what happened behind the scenes, and some of you might be hearing this, I don't know, for the first time, or maybe just saw a headline and just, you know, whatever, but it wasn't a matter of a cop, you know, pulling somebody over and shooting him. It wasn't that simple. I know there was a story behind what happened in the shooting, and maybe we need to talk about that just a little bit. And then you'd tell me if you would have shot the guy, if you were an officer. But it was around 2 p.m. Local time in Minnesota. Police said that they were trying to take a man into custody because during the traffic stop, if those of you who've been pulled over, you know, they look at your license, your registration, they make sure that you're clean, that you're not an axe murderer, and the police are looking for you, and I have to pull you over and let you go. No. They're gonna, when they stop you, they're gonna make sure that you're, hey, you know, you don't have any of these warrants that you skipped out on because you killed seven people. And I pulled you over because you ran a red light. I got you now. You're under, you know, we caught you. So they do those checks when you're pulled over. So what happened was during that stop, the officer, got in his car. He ran his driver's license and his information and learned that he had outstanding warrants. So the man who was out of his vehicle got back in the vehicle, and the officer shot him.
Wow.
They said that the man drove several blocks before striking another vehicle.
Wow.
What the hell? I mean, did the guy pull a gun? Did he pull a knife? What did he do? Amanda, we talked about this last Wednesday Wednesday?
Yes,
when I asked you, I asked you a question on Wednesday's show last week. I said, Amanda, confirm that the beat officers in the UK don't carry guns. They carry magic wands. I think those were my words, as I recall.
It is.
Well, not magic wands.
Yes.
But, yeah, they, I don't know what they call them.
Yeah. I call them batons, whether that's true or not. They probably call themselves by now.
Batons? Cheerleaders. They do these choreographed acts, and they twirl their batons.
Intense rehearsals required.
Wow. They dance. You like the Rockettes? Like the Rockettes?
The dancers have just 78 seconds to get out of this cumbersome look and into their next outfit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I like the Rockettes. I've seen them in New York.
Yeah, we used to see the London police officers do with that, with the twirls and the leg lifts and all that stuff. They hop me.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's something else. You get arrested if you look forward to a show, you know what I mean?
Even though it looks like they're touching, the dancers must hover gently, engaging their core strength.
Amazing. It's amazing what they do. Yeah, so the police, so imagine they carry these magic wands, they do little acts, they do little shows, they do song and dance, and everybody's entertained. So there's how can somebody hurt somebody with all this, you know, uplifting entertainment music going on? We have these police officers hopping around on their toes, doing little batons and little pirouettes, and throwing little batons in the air and catching them.
Yeah.
You know, lifting the, you know, they all gather around and they lift somebody up and the guy just slips and comes back down, they catch him, and everybody applauds.
Yeah. And you got all the lights up, suddenly appear, you know.
And all the lights, and the orchestra starts playing, and everybody's playing and merrily singing it. And you wonder why the crime rate is so low. It's such an exciting, happy, you know, Mary Poppins life we all live in over there. Just, you know.
That's what I'm thinking. But, yeah, I've got that scene at the movie, Ma, you know, Jim Carrey. Dancing in the street,
That's my vision of life in the UK. That's how I envision it. So just talk about life in the UK. That's what I envision it being. You know, with Mark Lester, who's going to be joining us again on the show, and he's a good friend of the show, and what a great guy he is. Mark Lester going around in this incredible white, beautiful buildings, a scene with people opening their shutters and birds tweeting, saying, "Who will buy this wonderful morning? Lord,
who will buy this wonderful morning?
Well, they don't sing it like that, but I'm going to sing that for Mark. When Mark comes back on, I'm going to sing it for him, let's get his opinion, see if I can
serenade him.
I'm going to ask him if he thinks I can audition for the play, you know what I mean? Yes. Oh, yeah.
You never know. They might be saying, "Please, sir, can I have some more?"
Yes. He was great. For those of you, Mark Lester played the part of Oliver, and he's a great guy. He's become a friend of our shows, and he's going to come on regularly and talk about some other things outside of the movie business and Oliver, which is I will not talk about that right now, but we know what it's going to be, and it's really exciting. It's what he's doing with his life now, and he's going to come on as regularly and talk about things that truly do, truly do concern all of us, that all of us have dealt with in our lives or have a family member that is. And Mark has become somewhat of an expert in other things outside of being Oliver. And he's going to be joining the show again and talking about that. And I'm sure talking about Oliver here and there, but still. And other, you know, projects that he's been involved with in his acting career, which has been amazing. Outside, people think of him and think of the movie Oliver, but he's done some other great films as well. But anyway, aside from that, I'm going to sing that for him and see if he thinks I've got any potential. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think.
What do you think? Yeah.
I say go for it, Alan. I'm rooting for you.
Yes. So talk to us. So there's some other news happening here in the U.S. You know. Oh, you know what else? I got to tell you what else caused a creation of this show. You know, this builds up to our 1 year anniversary show. The things we're going to talk about that we did before, and what kind of started the show, and how did you get to do this? You know, if you asked me over a year ago, you know, if you asked me last April 1st or even April 12th for that matter, if I would ever be a, you know, do a radio show, an internet radio show or a podcast. It was a, it wasn't even on my radar anywhere. It was like, Andy, are you going to be an Olympic triathlon star, triathlete, whatever you call it, athlete? No. Watch me become one. But anyway.
Why not?
You never know. I'm watching crazy, like. But here's something else that started the show about a year ago.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information.
This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen.
The only way we're going to lose this election is if the election is rigged.
I can barely hold it. The only way they can take this election away from us is if this is a rigged election. This is the greatest scam in the history of politics.
Are you suggesting that you might not accept the results of the election?
I have to say, will you commit here today for a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
Get rid of the ballots and you'll have a rigged transfer. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation. The election is being rigged, but we are going to stop it. We're going to beat the rigged system. We're going to beat the rigged election. We are not going to back down.
Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do. And actually, that was me in the background talking deep.
Oh, it was?
That's me talking to my wife in the background, talking about give me some juice.
Oh, jeez. Holy smokes.
Cornell, you know, do that thing for us that you do, you know? The man,
Yes.
Come on.
Join them. Oh, man. Amanda and Andy love show. Can you dig it, baby? Can you dig it?
I love it.
I love it too, man.
I love
you
what
know how it
like.
Is.
You know, I know, right?
Amanda, we're going to, you know, we're expanding this program. We're going to be doing some other offshoots of this program. And one is, you know, Amanda and I, a lot of you did not know that, but we are experts in the matters of intimacy and love, you know, because I know how it goes. You know,
way up, then it went down.
No, that's my problem. You know what I'm saying?
Ding, ding.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Yeah.
He'll do it the first day he gets in. He'll do it.
He will. Mm-hmm. And you know.
They want to do it very quickly.
Very quick. So we're gonna talk about these. we're going to do the. Well, how do you do that? Amanda and I are experts in matters of love and intimacy, and a lot of you do know that.
In my office.
You're like doctors in that.
Yeah, that's quite a compliment. Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to, raise. Well, first of all, it's important that we all address what's on all of our minds at once. And you know, as a musician, I love sing-alongs. You know, I love to get up on stage and encourage people to sing along. And so the last time, as a matter of fact, I had my MC introduce me, and I have a recording of this. The last music festival I played, I had a special MC to introduce the environment in which I wanted to orchestrate my stage performance. This was the introduction to Andy Kimball taking the stage at a major music festival.
Everybody say orgasm loud.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Andy, who did you open up for?
Yeah, Andy, be careful who you let toss your salad, you know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yes. So, Amanda, tell us what's going on in your – tell us what's going on over there. What's
Okay. So, well, you know, our dear Prince Philip passed away, bless his soul. But, that's huge news right now. It's several articles covering everything to do with Prince Philip and the contributions and stuff. So he's had many wonderful things said about him, and people all over the world have been paying tribute to him. He's had a 41-gun salute with guns fired in Australia, Cardiff, Edinburgh, London, Hillsborough Castle, a county down, which is in County Down, sorry, and also in Gibraltar and on ships at sea. And a ceremony is also planned to take place in New Zealand for him on Sunday. But the funeral will be held at St. George's Chapel in the grounds of Windsor Castle at 3 p.m. British Standard Time on Saturday the 17th. And it will be televised. So I know he said he is currently resting in the private chapel, and that I realised how wrong that sounds. So let's correct that and say that he will be lay at rest in the private chapel until the day of the funeral.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I know, right? As I said on the last show on Friday, who requested not to lie in state because he believed he didn't deserve it, right? He was quite humble in that sense, and usually only monarchs lay in state, with the exception of Winston Churchill, actually. He was given a state funeral. So his coffin is draped with a personal flag, and the flag represents elements of his life, from his Greek heritage to his British titles. And his sword and cap from the Royal Navy will also be laid on the coffin with wreath of flowers. Prince Harry is going to be flying over from the US, and I hear Meghan will be staying at home under doctor's orders as she's pregnant, very pregnant. So, she's not allowed to travel. And the Prime Minister will also not be attending, apparently, due to leaving enough spaces for family members to attend, because, as you know, with COVID situation, there's a limit on funeral attendees. So, and the Royal Family have opened a book of condolence online, if our listeners wish to go check that out. Everyone has been having a blast here in the UK right now, Andy and Cornell. Yeah. With the sun shining and the weather is sweet, yeah, makes you want to move your dancing feet. Yeah, baby, I love Bob Marley. This is all true as now shops and pubs and restaurants have reopened. And, of course, Boris Johnson is still urging us to be sensible and not go crazy with all of this, knowing full well that people won't listen to that advice because no one ever does. They do their own thing. And that means that people like me will be rocking the cave lady look and can finally go get our hair cut, get that gorgeous mop of hair, can be played with, caressed, and reshaped,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
Get a manicure.
Having all that done. Yeah, I'd love it.
Go back to what you're thinking about being played with and caressed. What was that?
Oh, yeah. You know, they sit you in a chair, put their fingers in your hair.
I like it.
Andy, I thought you were going to say, I thought you were going to hit your favorite. Doom, doo, doo, doom, doo, doo.
You took the song right out of my.
Pause.
Pause.
I'm
going to be having my hair cut on the 19th. I'm really looking forward to it because, you know, I was lucky enough to get an appointment with my wonderful hairdresser. She's amazing, always tries to fit myself and my family in for a cut. So,
well,
shout out to my hairdresser,
give her
Mary
a plug.
Jane White.
Who is that?
Yeah, Mary Jane White. Okay. She's awesome, absolutely awesome.
And where could she be found? Where is she?
She's in my my hometown. I think she works at a hairdresser's. I actually forget the name of the hairdresser, so forgive me, Lovey, for not remembering that. But I'm sure people can find her on Instagram and possibly on Facebook. She's amazing. She's very good at what she does. She gets a lot of high profile people want their hair done by her because she just does such an amazing job. And I've never had anybody do my hair as well as she does. So well deserved shout out, I think.
Well, good.
Yeah,
I want a picture. Yeah. Oh, we should send us a picture of getting your hair done.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Video.
Give her your cell phone. Have her take a picture or something like that. And then Cornell can let's put it up on our media sites. I think it's a major. I haven't had a haircut in over a year. You guys
I would
know
love
the difference
to
between
you get a haircut, Andy. I told Andy to put in a ponytail.
I want to think about my kids. People around me think, you know, leave it, let it grow. I'm having fun. I'm having fun with it, but I'm not sure how it. What do you think? You've seen some videos the pictures that are. In my music and stuff are mostly with shorter hair. I've never had like short hair, you know, but now it's down. My hair is down to my shoulders. And if I pull, cause it's kind of wavy. If I pulled it down, it would be beyond my shoulders. Wow.
Wow.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Isn't that
rocker.
Cool?
Rocker.
That is
so what should
cool.
I do? Should I get it cut or should I let it just kind of,
no,
leave it
keep it growing.
Neat? Keep it neat.
Yeah.
I trimmed so it doesn't go around my, the side of my face. You know, I trimmed the front down, you know, I do that myself. I just trim it. I say, whoops, that's getting too long there. But I haven't had a haircut. I haven't had a haircut in over a year since the beginning of COVID, and I was going to not get it cut until COVID was officially done and then celebrate by getting my haircut. But I'm having fun with it. But the question is, you know, I got, you know, does it look kind of, I don't want to start looking like one of those old retired hippies, you know what I'm saying?
That's cool.
I gotta be honest, I love your hair both ways, you know. It works.
Well, as my internet wife, you've got the final say. If you, don't ever feel shy or embarrassed to say, Andy, you know what? Get a cut. Feel free. You know,
I like it both ways. I think I.
Oh, I like it both ways too. But.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's very good.
I'm out of there.
I love when you talk that way.
Thank you. seeing the pictures of you a bit shorter, Andy, I gotta say, it really does suit you. Really does suit you. Nope. So I guess my preference swings more towards the shorter side of your hair. But then I've not seen how long it is now. You need to send me a picture of how it looks now so I can make that comparison. So
I'll send you. I'm getting the point now because things. Oh, by the way, I don't think I said this. No, I have not said this yet.
Which is?
I was just going to say that I didn't say yet. What haven't I not said? What were we just talking about? Oh yeah, this. In June 15th, this was announced. California is opening up 100%.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, now I can come out there.
Wow.
That is a day. All restaurants will be, right now restaurants are 20% capacity indoors and open for patio dining. Stores are open and so forth. Everything's open. People wearing masks, you know, stores, but everything, all service-oriented businesses, all be 100%. You know, be able to go into waiting offices, you know, if you're having a medical or a dentist or whatever, it's a haircut appointment, everybody be able to walk in and wait like they normally would. You may have to wear a mask. I don't know how they're doing that yet. Much of the population here in California have been vaccinated. You know, California is the fifth largest economy in the entire world. Without California's input in terms of economic substantiation, this world would not be a healthy place to live without the input of California's economy. We're the fifth largest in the world, and most of the population here has been vaccinated. We are kind of doing great right here in California.
That's great.
And they're opening it up on June 15th. This is going to be everything open up 100%. And barring some kind of spike, you know, that we have to start going back the other way like we did before after the summer's attempted partial reopening. But that being, so I was going to do is wait till then and, you know, fly some balloons and go get my hair cut for the first time in over a year. But I'm having fun. I must say I'm having fun with it. But the question is, you know, there comes a point where you say, okay, you know, you have to look presentable when you go out in the world, Andy, and you know, it's fun. But hey, you know, so what do I know? That's why I'm asking my wife here. I'm asking you if you think I should get my haircut. We should let our callers decide. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Phone in. Call in.
Yeah,
check him out on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah. Cornell. How often you don't have any hair.
No, I lost my hair when I was 2 years old.
I'm thinking to myself, what? I was going to say, when's the last time you got a haircut? And then I'm thinking,
actually, I get my beard shaped up and everything. I mean, they very precautious. We wear masks when I go to the barber to just get my beard trimmed or shaped up, make it look neat. But I haven't had hair since I was 2 years old. So, you know. If I grow my hair out, I will definitely look like Larry from the Three Stooges. And I don't want to look like that.
That would be kind of funny. Hey, Larry.
I tried it one time and it was like, no. My wife was like, no, please shave. Please shave your hair ball. So actually, I lost my hair. I was wearing a lot of hats and everything back in when I was in my 20s and everything, and it kind of took my hairline back. So when my hairline went way back, I was like, it's time to shave it down.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to I was talking about some friends, some girls who are friends, about whether the husbands or their boyfriends should get a haircut. And the overall the consensus was this.
The secret is big deal. It takes 3 minutes, give him an orgasm, then go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's for wow. Hair. I need to grow some hair then.
Good excuse, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. So, the amount of people that's desperately needing their haircut. You have a look at Boris Johnson's hair. Bless him. Sorry, Boris. I don't mean to put you down all your hair. You probably really love the style, and maybe it's intentional. If it is, oops. But
Cool. I noticed that too when I see him. Obviously, we see all his public appearances here as well. And I've been noticing that. And I kind of think it's cool. I think it's he's just a cool guy. His hair's growing out. You can rock it. You aren't straight. And I think that what's wrong with that?
My thing is this, Andy. I'm like, just shave it off, man, because you look like, you
me?
Missed something. Not you,
me?
But whoever, the guys who are bald. No, you have plenty of hair. But a lot of people, yeah, right? A lot of guys that basically that are have bald heads right now. And then when they grow their hair, people are like, oh, my gosh, you look so weird with your hair growing. You should shave it back bald. it's like, you ever seen that?
Yeah. It's like people when they shave their beards off, right? And everybody's like, oh, my God, look at your face. It looks naked. It looks bare.
Yes, yes.
It's weird.
I can tell you a funny story. I'm going back to 2000 and let me think what year. 3 or so. Or 1, maybe 2001. I don't know. Early 2000s. I remember. Several thousand shows ago and along many years ago, I had some fun and grew a beard and a mustache. I did it for a while, just had fun, right? And I also was raising a toddler at the time, who's obviously no longer a toddler. So, and so she knew her dada, she knew her daddy as this guy with a beard, right? And then I was, and I had some time off between shows, just hanging around, being a dad and having fun. I wasn't playing out much, just enjoying that experience. And then, bam, time to go back and hit the road and start performing. And I had some shows that started with a nice folk club up in New York. So we were living in Philly. We're all going to, my wife and my daughter and I were going to get in the car and drive up to New York. And I said, oh, you know what? I better, it's been a while since I've been out. And last time I played out, I didn't have a beard, da, da, da. So let me just go shave my beard. And this is right before. That hurt. That really hurt to get rid of the beard. Oh, my God, did that hurt. But anyway, so I got rid of the beard, before we left, and I could see my toddler, and did she cry? She had no idea who this guy was. She cried the whole way up the New Jersey Turnpike to New York. She was, and she wasn't a crier. She was somebody you could take to every restaurant, go and anything you want to do in your life. She was a trooper. She did amazing. She went anything we did. She went and she was great. And people used to comment on how good her behavior was. So we put her in the car and take her everywhere because she'd fall asleep in like 2 seconds. It was wonderful. We'd do anything. She cried. I can't tell you how many times we stopped just to try to settle her down because I spent a lot of time with her. I used to stay at home and she had no idea who this guy driving the car was. And she cried and cried and cried all the way up. I'll never forget it. And then I left the mustache, and then I figured, let me keep a mustache for a while. Then I got rid of that. Bring back my boyish charm once again. No.
Did it work?
No. Anyway, and I haven't had a beard since. But I did play around with a beard for a while there. I think I should send you a picture. I must have some somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure I do.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
How do we start talking about haircuts and beards?
The UK now are having shops and restaurants and hairdressers and stuff finally opening. Yay!
But, yeah.
That's how we got.
Yeah, I remember that. We talked about, last week, we talked about a federal investigation into the sex trafficking allegations being conducted regarding Florida Representative Matt Gaetz, a staunch Trump ally. Not that I keep saying that. It doesn't matter. If so what? It just happens to be that, you know, oh my God, you know, these sex traffickers and these, you know, the Trump, the clean right wing conservative, you know, whatever, and who knows about his past, you know, that there's been several allegations made about and questions raised about his past, but I won't dive into that right now. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, what we're dealing with now in the news today, not yesterday, but today, is that Representative Matt Gaetz is being investigated by the feds regarding sex with the minor and transporting that minor across state lines and paying that minor money via Venmo, whatever you call it. There's another, you know, he was evidently was denied a meeting with Donald Trump at his Mar-a-Lago estate, as Trump now is, and he, you got to remember, you know, Trump was going in front of the podium all over the country and bringing Matt Gaetz with him in several places, especially in Florida. Where's Matt Gaetz? Matt, come on up here. Come on up here. And bringing the guy up to the stage, and, you know, he's the best. And, oh, my God, we have him. And what a great supporter, what a great ally. Now, Trump and his current allies are continuing to distance themselves from this Florida congressman. There have been some people who are more familiar with the matter than I. Said that Gaetz tried to schedule a visit with Trump after it was first revealed that he was being investigated, but the request was rejected by aides close to the former president, who have urged Trump not to stick his neck out to defend this guy anymore. But, you know, then again, you know, and this is all, you know, it's interesting. These stories get out and they circulate, and, you know, who knows? You know, I hate to use this expression.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what's fake and what's not, what's real and what's not. But an aide of Trump's by the name of Harlan Hill said, who was actually a spokesperson for Gaetz, said that the congressman never requested a meeting with Trump this week. Well, this week, but okay, and I want to say this week. How about last week? This investigation has been on for a while. So this week, maybe he didn't. Maybe you're right. Hey, he never requested a meeting with Trump this week.
Yeah.
I rest my case, Your Honor. Isn't it also true?
It is funny though. I stories when they do come out, how they get passed on, and how sometimes it gets something gets a little bit challenged and shaped, and it's kind of like Chinese whispers, isn't it? One person will say something, and something else gets added to that. That story then gets passed on, and somebody adds something else to it, and then you've got this story that's blown up, and then nobody knows if it's really true, if all the facts are right. And it's amazing, you know, when you actually sit and think about it, how that actually happens, because people don't always remember accurately the very thing that they've heard. So they put their take on it, which then always ends up being different and manipulated. And as it goes on, it transforms into this whole new story that, you know, I find that fascinating. I see it in my head like a graph, like a chart that I can almost map and see how it changes shape until it forms this picture at the very end of it. Is that weird? Is that really weird?
It is. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I hear you. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I predict that that Gaetz is going to end up resigning. I think his political career, is going to come to an end as a result of all this. I don't know that for a fact. What do I know, right? But I'm assuming based on everything that's been out there, that's been collected, that's been alleged thus far, he's got some issues, and people are starting to distance themselves. He's spent this week relaxing with his fiance. You might wonder, and you can speak about this. Let's say you have a fiance, you know, you're in a relationship, and, you know, in a case of fiance, your fiance means you're engaged, you're going to get married, and then all these allegations come up about you having sex with minors and sex trafficking and paying minors, giving them gifts.
Yeah.
And here's the tough thing. Let's just assume that it's alleged but never really happened.
Okay.
Let's just assume, and this is an illustration. This is make believe. This is not real.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that a minor took a liking to Gaetz because of who he was interested in politics, was interested in maybe assuming that, you know, I love what you do and I want to learn and can I be an intern and can I, you know, wow, and Gaetz took to her, not in a physical romantic way, but as an uncle, you know, as a relative, say, yeah, you know, and developed relationship with the 17-year-old that was. But then again, you get to, okay, the 17-year-old's parents should be involved in this thing. Even an 18-year-old, and you know, even when you're 18, I mean, okay, you're not a minor at 18, but you're probably still in more likelihood under the being supported by your parents. I mean, a parent,
yeah,
a parent's always a parent. I don't care if you have a kid who's 40, you know, you're still the mom and dad. And as my mom used to say, you're never too old for a potch. You know what I'm saying?
What is that?
A potch is.
Yeah, what is a potch?
Please
explain to me. And what is a potch?
British people.
Yeah, I'm like, a potch? Is that something that. No, I want to go there.
What is it?
No. A potch is. I'm trying to figure out a way to. It's a. A slap on the butt. That's it. A slap on the butt.
Okay. All has made sense. All is right in my world again.
A slap on the butt. That's the best.
In our community, well, actually, I'm in everybody community. They say a belt and beat your ass. No, it's just.
I was, you know, my dad, the alligator belt, man, when I was a kid, but usually it was a separate brother from fighting. You know, they couldn't get us apart. We were fighting and fighting. And then my dad would have to take the belt out to separate us, you know, when we were little.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you little rebels.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother used to attack me, I think, you know, he would attack me. I was very peaceful, lad, you know, against violence, protesting Black Lives Matter, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, back then it was going on too? Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
I was four. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Talking about history repeating itself, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I was just, you know.
Come full circle.
Just minding my business. Just minding my business.
Minding my business.
I think I've been very lucky to not receive a belt around the backside, because I think that would just be like, I don't know. I see it, like you see it in movies, and I hear about people that's had that. My father, you know, used to have a belt, and it's like, wow. Well, he had the cane. He was talking about the cane when he got the cane at school for, you know, speaking against a teacher or something. And the way he described it, I was like, oh, my God. If they still did that in schools today, crikey, can you imagine? Wow.
I think the kids will be straight. They'll be, I mean, back in those days, I'll be like, yo, my parents if it wasn't for that, I guess, I wouldn't be the person who I am today. I wouldn't be out there going crazy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I respect the way our parents and their parents or whatever dealt with us, because they're only doing what they were taught and they knew best and thought that was going to really help us. And it hasn't done any major damage to any of us. Well, I don't think it has, but... You know,
I remember one time my mom did that to me, and she got upset. And then after that, when she was finished, she said, all right, now let's go shopping. Let's go and get you some food. I'm like, how can you just balance that out?
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, and there have been people who have been abused. There have been kids who have been abused that way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you draw a line somewhere regarding, you know.
Definitely.
And now if a parent hits a kid can file charges. You know that?
Yeah, it's illegal over here to hit a child now.
And that's amazing. That's weird, because just say if, you know, we don't condone that and all that stuff. Your kid is being bad in your house, and he's not paying no rent. He's not doing anything. He's living in your house. You're feeding him, doing that, and you do that, he'll call the cops when you get locked up.
Yeah.
In your own house.
It's something that, but you know, it's not illegal. However, matter of fact, it's, you know, what the alternative is to hitting is to hang them upside down and pummel them with carrots.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's the new thing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With carrots.
So, carrots. or peas. Peas sometimes. Some carrots or peas. Peas and carrots. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that's kind of a good, that's kind of great.
Yes. They throw them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that is now.
You like underneath him, you put a plate. So
yes,
whatever happens, you got dinner, right?
Get a dog involved, you know.
Yes, right. Now that's what you call a doggy bag.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to tell you, this happened. I've got a beautiful view outside of our studio here in Los Angeles, California. And I've got this. I've got two pet Blue Jays, Mutt and Jeff. And I go out and I have my coffee.
Hey, Andy, why do they sound like they drink?
I've got these two pets, and they see me, and they come right up next to me. I feed them, and I give them a drink. All right, let's call it what it is. Right, but anyway, margaritas, vodka tonics, you know. They come, they look at the menu, they go through the menu, they say, please, sir, may I have the menu, please? And yes, may I see what the special is of the day? And I give them the menu, I feed them, we talk, and they saw me through the windows here, big windows in the studio, and they're sitting out there right now staring at me doing the show, Mutt and Jeff.
Wow.
I should bring them on the show as guests one time.
Is their favorite group, the OJs, by any chance?
Oh, yeah, the OJs.
Yeah, right.
Wow. OJs. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a jam.
Oh, my God, the OJs.
Hopefully they're not backstabbers.
But yeah, right. They come out in the morning. I'll come out there and I'll have coffee. I'll visit them. They visit me, and they sit and they stare at me, and they wait for me to go get. I give them, you know, sometimes I have bags of birdseed, but most of the time I don't. And I go and give them bread or some Cheerios or find something, crackers, whatever. Probably want a cracker, and I and I give them and I feed them, and they just come out.
They ask you if you want a cracker.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I mean, that's how that feedback. Wow.
Mm-hmm. They give me advice in life. You know, they talk to me.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. They you know, the one said, you know, I think it was Mutt, said,
my baby, when you go out with me, money means nothing.
Yeah, see?
Nice.
Wow. Uh-huh. You can have all the flower seeds you want.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah,
Snow White thing going on, yeah.
And I tell them, I meet them here. They're welcome, you know, they're welcome to be here. I tell them.
But until then, please look upon this house as your own.
I tell them all the time. Mm-hmm.
That's
and
nice.
You know what's so crazy? I guess our listeners saying, like, how do they go from police brutality to blue?
Mutt and slut. What is it?
Mutt and Scott. What did they say? Mutt and Mo.
And Jeff.
What did they say?
Mutt and Jeff.
Mutt and Jeff. How we went from that to this? Handy to me.
Yeah. To this.
Everybody say orgasm loud.
Especially her.
Yeah.
Please, guys, if you're listening, take us serious, please. We are very serious.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Honest.
Yes, it's important. It's important that you do so. Mm-hmm. This is Andy and Amanda Show. Our call in number is 515-605-9888, where, quite frankly, we don't give a damn if you call or not. But, hey, you know, if you want to call, you can. Whether we take your call or not is another story, you know, but calling.
And, you know, I'm not a grown-up, but I play when at work, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. You know, call in and listen to the program, call in and try to ask some questions because Andy's not going to answer the phone anyway, so.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. But whatever
this
you do.
This reality TV.
Let's remember that.
That's right.
Don't call in and disappear, will you? Because you could be the chosen one. Oh, yes.
The chosen one. Yes.
Much too rough.
Much too rough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is. Do you know? what we were talking about, and how, somehow I got distracted. I guess I got distracted because Mutt and Jeff were out
there. Well, let's talk about the Blue Jays.
The OJs.
Yeah, yeah. The last thing I remember is Trump and then OJs, and then it was just,
Then we went somewhere else. We were talking about Mars. What else were we talking about?
Oh, did you hear about Mars? This thing sent him back amazing pictures of Mars. The Curiosity, it's the rover, but it's got a name. I guess they call it Curiosity, I think. It's Mars 2020, you know, the new rover that's up there on Mars. It sent back incredible, incredible pictures. Matter of fact, folks, if you haven't done this yet, you can go to YouTube and look up NASA Mars, and you can actually see live – you can actually see live or you know, recently recorded video live from Mars of the entire Martian population. Which is zero. But you see the Martian.
I hope so. I hope so.
Real microbes, you know.
Yeah, just waving. Imagine if they was taking pictures and something just jumping like, I'm here. And everybody in the whole world.
Know,
like,
yep. Yeah, can you imagine that? Like you see that on circulating on the internet sometimes. You're watching so real close. It says, look at this real close. And then suddenly somebody jumps right at the screen. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Even the whole world will be like,
yeah.
Yeah. Imagine somebody just got out and said, imagine somebody got in front of the Curiosity camera and said this.
I actually like women much more than I like men.
The world will go crazy. We'd be like, how did he get up there?
That would be quite a declaration.
Yeah. Or imagine right. Imagine if they go up there and they see E.T. smoking a Newport.
or this would probably be more appropriate.
That was designed to destroy the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. They're coming. Yeah. Oh, there's God. You wouldn't believe. I'm sorry to get about this, but it's so like Dr. Doolittle. My Mutt and Jeff are literally on the other side of this window staring at me. It's unbelievable.
No way. Well,
Jeff just flew. Oh, I can't believe this. Wait, give me a second. Let me gotta stand up here for a second. Hey, Mutt.
Hey, for our listeners, Andy, take a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, I will. It's just, you know, I've actually got a couple of friends. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Come on, Andy. Be honest. They're the executive producers of the show. Come on. Be honest. We don't have to let the listeners, you know, don't know. Yeah, they are our executive producers.
At least I don't have to. I actually don't have to beg for my friends.
Donald Trump is begging. He's begging and crying.
Two ways of that. Begging and crying.
He's begging and crying.
Yes. They're hugging and kissing.
Mm-hmm. He's got such a unique tone to his voice, hasn't he? He really is. It's quite funny.
Yes.
Very theatrical.
Yeah.
Andy, do you get
well, I was going to reply to that, but what the hell? Let's move on to something else.
Yeah, right.
We're talking about the Mars shot. It's sending back. Okay, just want to talk about that for a second. They also sent a spaceship to an asteroid. Very far away. How far, I forget. But here's what happened. This spaceship, 200 million miles away, I think it is. Yes. It landed on an asteroid. It landed on an asteroid, right?
Wow.
For less than a minute, it dug its paws in. I'm sorry. I can't still believe these Blue Jays are, like, staring at me. This is unbelievable. But anyway. It's really something.
It really, they heard you talking about them.
I can't believe it. I really feel like Dr. Doolittle here. But anyway, so getting – I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's just really weird. You know, just unbelievable how these – are taking such a, you know –
Well, that's how sponsors are.
Yeah. It's really – I just think – anyway, getting back – okay, I won't talk about the Blue Jays anymore. Okay. But was I going to say? Yes, so this spaceship dug its paws into the asteroid for less than a minute, took some samples, and is now on its way back to Earth and is expected to land on Earth with the samples of the soil from this asteroid dug in. And they're going to and they are claiming that from doing that, they will know how we all got here.
For real? Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive. All right, tell me how I got here, please. Please, come on.
somehow.
Did I travel by car or did I walk?
Well,
by
spaceship.
I know.
They've been telling me that my whole life. They travel by spaceship. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Be honest, it came from Flash Gordon.
Oh, man. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah. They were telling me my genetics was Emperor Ming. That was like my great grandfather.
Wow. That's crazy.
But anyway, so yeah, that's happening right now. That spaceship is on its way back to Earth with some samples, which is, I mean, think about what we're able to accomplish. We sent a spaceship 200 million miles away or somewhere around that area. It lands on a moving asteroid. It stays there for less than a minute, seconds. It digs in to the asteroid. It pulls out some samples, puts them back in its belly, takes off from the asteroid, and is on its way back to Earth. Will safely land with the samples from the asteroid, where scientists will be analyzed what it collected. I mean, think about that for a second. We did that. And you think about the issues that we have that we address on this show quite often in the world today and in our society.
Definitely.
Yeah,
and in disease, in fighting cancer, in fighting heart disease, in fighting the many diseases and horrific things that occur to us, not due to our own fault regarding our health, that we are combating regularly, that we can't fix the discrimination, that we can't fix the social injustices, that we can't fix lack of education, the lack of food, the lack of overall sense of caring and well-being about this population that we can't fix, but yet we can send a spaceship to an asteroid, collect it, and bring it back.
Yes, right. I know.
Why can't we? Do we not have the ingenuity? Do we not have the brain power? Do we not have the ability as a population, as one species, regardless of our color, regardless of where we came from, regardless of where we live, regardless of what our religious beliefs are, to recognize that we are all human beings and respect all of us, regardless of what our beliefs and philosophies and ideologies are, and move the society forward in a caring manner? Can we not do that? Is it not possible for us to do that, but we can send a spaceship to an asteroid?
Mm-hmm. I know.
That's weird.
It's money, it's politics, it's just, it's, I don't know,
it's politics.
Humanity just hasn't got its act together. I can't even speak, I'm that furious, damn it.
I mean, and Amanda's not one who loses her temper off on this show. Whoa.
Yes.
No.
Oh, finally.
Whoa.
Yes, finally.
God damn it.
I'm going to have a bear to that one.
I've never heard Amanda say God damn it on this
show. Me neither.
There's a first for everything, and damn it, that time is now.
Yes.
Damn it. I got to say this. We just had some breaking news come over the wire here. Let me get this. And the reason why I'm breaking, I just got to say this because we were just talking about this morning, less than an hour ago or about an hour ago, we were talking about this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Three law enforcement officers were injured during a police chase in Georgia that ended with one suspect being killed and a second suspect taken into custody, authorities said today. That's today. So three officers are now in a hospital in Atlanta.
Oh, my goodness.
This is breaking. This is coming off the news wire right now. Chase began when a Georgia state trooper clocked a car traveling 111 miles an hour on Interstate 20 around 3 a.m. local time in Georgia. They said that the trooper pursued the car. The car stopped and drove away. The trooper used his vehicle to force the car to stop beside the road, but the driver regained control and continued to run and shot the trooper's patrol car, striking it and disabling it.
Mm.
The two suspects continued into the county in which they were driving, which is Carlton County, on Highway 61, when the passenger leaned out the window and fired rounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
The officers, he fired into the officer's vehicle, resulting in an officer being struck and another hitting a utility pole. When did I say, how long ago did I say about these guys put their uniform on, badges on, they kiss their waves goodbye and their family and their kids, they leave, they get into the car, drive to work, they get into the patrol car, and they don't know if they're going to come home.
You said that like 20 minutes ago.
This is breaking. And within the scope of the show, within the time frame of this show, You know, what the fuck?
That's...
You know, you got it. You know, I don't know. You know, most police officers and officers of the law, I don't care if they're police or FBI or CIA or Secret Service or whatever branch of the government, Homeland Security, you know, air traffic, the aviation marshals that fly on the airplanes, these are all very good people, very good, fun, effective, honorable, respectful men and women who selected a career to defend those who didn't select that career.
Yeah.
And in doing so, they put their very lives in the hands of others every single day they go to work.
Yeah.
And it's so easy for people such as myself, and we have thousands of listeners. We are broadcast around the world. We have people listening to the show right now. So it's very easy. So for people like those of us here on the Andy and Amanda Show and other programs, of course, probably much more prevalent, obviously, than our show, to get on the radio, to get on a microphone and start condemning police officers for doing something that we don't know what was in their mind at that moment and snapping to a judgment about police shooting black people or whatever it was. And, you know, it's interesting. How often we addressed this again a year ago and we dig it up again. How often do police officers get out of their car and shoot white people?
Well, yes. You don't hear about
you know,
that.
You know what I mean? But anyway, so that's, yeah, we're not going to, you know, that's a whole conversation. We've had it. We'll maybe as this news breaks about what happened in Minnesota, we'll dive into that again this week. But it just, you know, I want to, again, be clear that I realize that it's very easy to snap to judgment, to say, you don't know, you're not there, you're never a cop, you don't know what these people do. Yeah, we appreciate it, and I'm trying to make that very clear now that we do acknowledge, and I can't be more plain and more caring and have more empathy and sympathy for these guys and more respect for these men and women who do this every day.
I agree.
It's getting worse for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting worse. And also, know something else, though, at the same time. You're seeing you go to Facebook and start scanning videos on Facebook. How many videos? People are videotaping confrontations with police officers now. And sometimes they're doing it purposely onto a sidewalk. Sidewalk, public property. It's not private property. Even if you're on the sidewalk of a law enforcement facility or a drug lab, I mean, illegal. I don't mean a drug lab.
Okay.
I don't mean a meth
lab.
I'm not talking about a meth lab here. people are being confronted by police for stepping on the sidewalk of a meth lab. No. But if you know, you see videos of you know, security guards coming out and saying, "Can I help you? I'm just here taking some pictures. I'm just, you know, doing some things. Just you can't do it here." What do you mean I can't do it here? This is private property. This is, see that sign? Well, that sign is pertaining to people on the property. I'm on public property. I'm on the sidewalk. No, you're not. This is our property. No, I'm not. I'm on public property. They call the cops. The cops come. And the people are right. And then the cops come and they say, "Can I see your identity?" And people say, "What are you charging me with?" Nothing. Then you have no right to ask for my identity. And that is absolutely correct. You have no right to search me. You have no right to ask for my identity. You have no right to, I can just walk. Am I being detained? No. Then I can, I'm pretty good, right? Well, now you are being detained. What's the crime? Trespassing. I'm not trespassing. Where am I trespassing? And it's almost like these folks are edge. And the folks that are filming are correct. You know, in other words, they know the law before they do this. So they know if they get confronted by a cop, the cop doesn't have 2 legs to stand on. And it shows how ignorant these police are of the law.
Yeah.
The police cannot come up and search you. The police cannot come up and request any. You are not. You don't have. A police officer has no more right than any other citizen coming up to you and saying, "Can I see your ID?" Unless you are being charged. Are you being charged with something? Well, then you know something. You just ran a stop sign. You just hit somebody. You did trespass. It says no trespassing. I'm not going to arrest you for it, but I want to see. You know, I'm going to ask you to leave. I'm not going to put you in jail. But I'm going to tell you to leave, and I want to see your ID to make, just like in a traffic stop when they make sure that you have any warrants. But if you did not trespass, if you're on a public property, and there's no law that says you can't take pictures and film anything from public property, you can film anything you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right? So, and a lot of officers do not know this, and some officers, that carrying of the badge gives them this ego that they have more rights than any other citizen, and they have to keep their jobs in mind. They work for us. They're not superior to us. We employ them. Our tax dollars give them jobs. You are our servants, police officers. And those are police officers who I'm sure are listening, and those who are probably know and agree with me. Andy, you're right. You're right. And there are cops that don't know the law and that take this ego into their – and we've seen many examples of this, that officers are just out there thinking that they and some of them are cops because maybe they grew up lack of confidence and being picked on as a kid, and they said, I'll show them. Now I'm going to be a cop, and now I'm going to – I got a badge now.
Oh, yeah. You hear about a lot of that going on. And if you think about it, it's not just police, it's every aspect of life that we see something and we want to imitate it. It's just a human nature. Like the whole subject with yawning, you see somebody yawn, you mention the word yawn and immediately feel that sense that you want to start yawning, right? And that's just one classic example of how we imitate each other as humans. And so when we see something on the TV, it's like, oh, my God, yeah, that's so cool. That speaks to my ego. Oh, yeah, I would love to be like that, experience that, you know. And then it progresses from there, doesn't it? And
it does.
Yeah,
and there are cops out there, and probably many of them, actually, probably many that think that...
my revenge is complete.
They got this badge.
Yes.
But at the same time, I'd like to think, I'm sure this is true, a majority of the cops respect for the law, respect for other people, and are, you know, hey, nice men and women that don't want to give anybody a hard time. Look, I'll let you go, but you really, you know, hey, you got to get out of here. You can't do this. Just you know, have a nice day and be off. And that's probably most of them are like that. You know, they don't want to, you know.
We love you on the Andy and Amanda show.
And we're always very welcoming. We're always.
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
Mm-hmm. Just like that guy.
Yeah. Well, we like to think we are, right? I mean, we're good people most of the time.
Mm-hmm. You good most of the time?
No, all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that can be taken in so many ways, right?
Yeah, right. Especially when Andy do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what's how when he does that? He's kind of like, yeah, okay then. Mm.
Yeah. Whatever. Fuck that.
I'm just gonna humor her, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I'm interested in what she's saying.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. Mean
that's
Andy
what happens
wall.
In marriage, right?
You, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
That's the real Andy, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, so how do we get to... How do we...
We went from Mars. We came back from Mars.
We're talking about the breaking news.
We met the police.
The breaking news, which is just ironic because we were just talking about that. I just want to bring that up just because that just happened, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So we talked about, let's see, let me go back and make sure there's some things we're supposed to talk about. Oh, I got it. This is important. Vaccinations, you know, we're like the amazing amount of people. I mean, we can get the numbers here, maybe we will, but we have left of the show, but basically, as vaccinations keep rising at an amazing, you know, millions a day. Well, at the other side of the coin here, COVID-19 hospitalizations among those who aren't vaccinated are increasing. Right, the numbers overall are going way down, but but it's just a correlation. Okay, we talked about some important things to recognize and be aware of. We also know that. You know, obviously we talked last week and Amanda mentioned it earlier in the show that Prince Philip passed away, and it's coming up now in UK news that Prince Philip thought that the Harry and Meghan, Meghan Markle's
Markle.
Thank you.
Yes.
take a script away from me and look what happens. Meghan Markle.
Yes. No, like a good thing.
But anyway, what's his name?
Philip.
Thank you. I'm getting there. They say, Andy, come on, spit it out. You can do this. You can do this. Prince Philip thought that Harry and Meghan. Meghan Markle's Oprah interview was madness, he said, he claimed. And we'll kind of maybe elaborate more on that as the week goes on. But those are his thoughts. Senator Ted Cruz doubles down after John Bonner, you know, John, the former Republican leader of the Senate, told him to go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. And Senator Ted Cruz.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, this is the Andy Amanda Show. More talk, more laughs, more conversation, your calls, folks. You can call into the show, 515-688, as you can tell. We talk about anything for no reason at any given time just because, you know?
I was just reading about Will Smith's slavery film is being pulled out of Georgia over voting laws. That Will Smith's slavery film Emancipation has pulled out of filming in Georgia over what the star has called the U.S. state's new regressive voting laws. In a statement issued to Deadline by Smith and director Antoine Fuqua, I don't know how to pronounce that last name, the pair said they felt compelled to act. We cannot in good conscience provide economic support to a government that enacts regressive voting laws that are designed to restrict voter access. Some feel the new law will restrict voting by disadvantaged groups. That's interesting.
Mm. Huh. It is. Do you know, Amanda, this is breaking. This is 4 minutes old. This is your backyard. What? This is your backyard.
All righty.
It's coming out now. Hold on. No, wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm embracing my chair.
This is for you. This is for our listeners in the UK. As Britain, I'm just going to read the headline. As Britain unlocks outdoor pints are pure joy. You know, this is happening now. Basically what they're saying is that after months of near total lockdown, as Amanda has been talking about for a year, Britain is beginning to reopen. And they're saying, you know, through plagues and wars, the pub stayed open. Then came the coronavirus, and people are beginning to go into a pub and order a pint, you know, and it's great. Then we had the variant that Amanda talked about at length, where Britain had to go back to another lockdown. And same thing happened elsewhere. We had spikes and we looked at Brazil, we looked at Italy, we looked at France. But the folks over in the UK have, there are billions in savings because they haven't been able to spend their money. And now the retailers, right next to Amanda there, they're all waiting for them to go into their store and buy things.
Yeah.
So things are starting to open up there, Amanda. So go get yourself a pint.
Really I would love to. I would really love to.
I can't wait to share one with you over there. I can't wait to share one with you over there.
That's going to be great, Andy. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So Cornell, it's great having you back on the show.
Thank you.
Is there anything we were supposed to talk about that we didn't?
Well, actually, we didn't talk about Kibbles and Bits, but it's no problem. No, y'all did a great job. It was awesome to be on the show with you guys again, man.
Aww, we missed you.
We definitely missed you.
We love having you.
Yes,
we do.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I really appreciate this, guys. Well, while y'all was on, yes, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. What?
While y'all was on the radio and everything on the program, I was mopping my floor, so I just wanted to let you know.
Multitasking, I like it.
But it's been amazing, man. You know. I guess I go back behind the scenes, but we got to go.
We do.
Yes.
It's been a great, folks. We have an exciting week ahead. We have some guests joining us this week. It's going to be a fun week. Join us live Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all week podcasts. Amanda, take us home.
Okay, on behalf of Andy Kimball in Hollywood, California, on behalf of myself here in the UK, and thanks to Cornell for joining us from Delaware. Thank you so much for being with us for another show, and catch us on Wednesday for some more madness and craziness and all that good stuff. We love you. Thanks again, and see you soon.
All the best, folks. Be safe out there.
Take care.